Welcome into another episode of Mid-Michigan Matters. This podcast is designed to go behind the scenes at what our local nonprofit organizations are doing in our community. And now, here's your host, Chris Spachman.
Chris Spachman here with you on another Mid-Michigan Matters. Got Michelle Sponseller here with me from downtown Mount Pleasant. And yes, there is construction downtown right now, but it's for such a good reason. And I think I'm one of those people, Michelle, that's in the know. So for people who don't really know why that's going on, that's why we're doing this podcast, to inform people. And I'll start off by saying we're not going to end up missing a whole lot. That little stretch of Mosher was kind of meant to alleviate traffic on Broadway, but I think with all the different off-streets now that we've got, you know, on Broadway, on Mission, it's not really an issue like it used to be.
Well, you know, if you go back in time, like, because I'm a history nerd. I can't help myself, but Mosher, that was put in as a bypass of downtown, not just like helping traffic, but it was truly a bypass. The idea back then in 1960s was you were going to connect CMU downtown in what at the time was the industrial park, which is north of Pickard on Fancher Street. And we were going to bypass downtown, right? So not a stop and go, and then you're going to shoot straight up to the north side. Well, the reality is, I don't want you to bypass downtown. I want you to go through downtown and see the remarkable businesses that we have. Look, check out the restaurants, the retail shops that we have. I want you to stop throughout downtown. But overall, the project, Town Center Civic Space. So just to kind of give the highlights, we knew that the parking lot three, which is part of it, needed to be fully reconstructed. And it's needed that for a number of years. If you've ever parked in there, you know the potholes in the very tight spaces, right?
Even when I had my little Chevy Cruze, sometimes you still had to shimmy on out.
Right.
And that wasn't because the person that parked next to me was bad. It was just the way it was constructed that kind of went in a little bit. There was no other way for it to be done.
It's a pie-shaped piece of property, and we did the best we could. And those parking spaces have been that shape for a number of decades. Well, as you know, cars and trucks have gotten bigger. And so back then it was perfectly fine. And today you shimmy out. Hopefully you didn't have a big lunch when you were coming downtown and you know, cause you were like, uh-oh, got to get through here. So we knew that the parking lot needed to be reconstructed, but we also have had a real struggle in downtown with, and I'm going to call it civic space. When we hold an event downtown, for those of you who have been downtown, you understand we'd have to close the street, right? Cause we didn't have a Courthouse Square. We haven't had a Courthouse Square since the early 70s. So when you were going to do something, you were forced to close the street, close the parking lot. And that's not, that we're better than that.
It's not ideal.
Not ideal. And as a community, we deserve better than that. I firmly believe that. So back in the year, actually 2000, when we did the Vision 2020 study in for all of Isabella County, one of the things that came out of that was we need some sort of civic space in downtown. So it predates my time here at the city, this idea. And along the years, we would have an idea like, here's how we could do it. But it meant sacrificing parking. How else are we going to do this? What are our options? And of course, time goes on. That parking lot keeps getting worse and worse. And we were really between a rock and a hard place, having to reconstruct it. And it was either now or never. Like we were going to reconstruct the parking lot in the shape and the size that it is, and bringing those spaces into current configurations meant we were going to have an overall loss of parking spaces. Well, I can assure you, the number one thing that people like to talk to me about downtown is not enough parking. So the idea of having less parking spaces was not appealing at all. And then add in the desire for more civic space. The only real way to do that was to take that curve, if you will, that bypass of Mosher Street, and use that space. So what we're doing is taking the green space and increasing the amount of it, pushing it to the west, increasing the number of parking spaces, and moving that all to the west. So everything kind of moves and connects to parking lot 10, if you will. Now, some of the highlights of that is of the overall project. So larger green space. So we have a space that we can hold events.
And the space that we have there now is terrific.
It's nice. It's
small, and it has some cool stuff there. How much bigger is that going to be, if you know exactly? Like I said, that might still be something that's
six times the space, roughly.
Holy moly.
Yeah, six times the space. Now, which is terrific. In that space it's not small, but we had some things, I want to say, in the way, right? If we knew 40 years ago what we know now, we probably wouldn't have put in giant planters that, my joke about these planters, put in, what is it? I think it's 1987, that we were convinced we were going to be in nuclear war with the Soviets, and these planters needed to survive. I mean, they go 4 feet down into the ground, Chris. It's bananas. And so they were overbuilt, and they're big and they're bulky, and I can appreciate landscaping, but yet that becomes an attractive nuisance. When you hold an event there, kids are scrambling up on it because kids are being kids, right? And all I can think of during an event is, oh my gosh, somebody's going to fall. Let's not do that. So the civic space then sort of blends seamlessly into the parking lot. And what I mean by that is this design is curbless. So where you walk up and down downtown, right? If you're in and around, you're going to go up and down curbs. This space is without curbs. So not only are you going to have more green space and more parking, but it's also currently, if you're in the space, you will notice that there's no parking on Main and Broadway around that. The sidewalk is misaligned. Like, it doesn't line up. I don't know why they did that, but they did. Somebody made that decision. So we're putting parking back on the street. So those spaces, if you have mobility challenges, which a lot of people do, and it's very challenging to put in ADA spaces downtown with some of the constraints that we have. If you're talking about slopes that have to be put in, yes, you can do it, but it becomes a challenge when it's too close to a curb or too far away from a curb. What's that space? But so when these are going to be done, all of those along Main and Broadway along that new space won't have a curb. So for people with mobility challenges, you're going to be able to pop out of the car and easily go to the sidewalk. There won't be that step up. It won't be there. So when we have an event, if the green space is all you need, fantastic. But if you need more space, which is, let's say, the Craft Beer Festival, right? They need more space than just the green area. We can close down the whole parking lot, and it's not like it, oh, well, that's a parking lot. Oh, that's green space. It's going to feel a little bit more seamless. We're also putting in enhanced electricity. My joke is I'm not an electrician, so I can't speak to amps and wattage and all that. All I know is if you're going to hold an event there now, you don't have to bring in a generator, which is something that we've needed in the past. So we're going to have multiple locations. If you have, whether it's a food truck or you have a sound system that needs a certain level of electricity, we're going to have that at your disposal now. On top of which, the real big thing is having public restrooms. We have not had public restrooms in downtown in close to 50 years. Now, some people say, well, but I could go to someone's restaurant. Sure. Sure. There are some restaurants and some businesses that are very open to you doing that.
You and I are townies as well, too. So right. If you get somebody that has come into Mount Pleasant from out of town, they might not feel comfortable going into said business.
They're not even going to necessarily know that it exists. But if you're a mom, right, or a dad with a four-year-old, do you want to pick them up like a football and have to go two or three blocks and hope that somebody is going to let you use their bathroom? Again, we're better than that. We need to be thinking in those terms. So, a lot of people have, are the bathrooms going to be open all the time? Are they going to be closed? You know, they're going to work in the same manner that our parks bathrooms do. So closed at roughly 11 o'clock at night. They're going to have automatic locks. So work smarter, not harder.
Don't get stuck in there.
Well, you'll be able to get yourself out, but you won't be able to go back in if they're locked. We'll have security cameras on the outside of the building, to be clear, because a lot of people are, oh no, cameras on the outside to help us with graffiti. The reality is, whether it's downtown or in our park, sometimes that's something that we have to factor in. So we got smart and we put cameras there. Trying to think what else.
Well, one thing I want to say too about the parking, any downtown, people think parking is an issue.
Oh, and they always do, yes.
You've got to walk, you know, say I want to go to the Bird on a Friday night and, you know, that main lot across from them is full. You know, the one by Sacred Heart's full as well, too. If I've got to park town center, I'm walking, two blocks to the Bird? Right. If you're in Detroit, Grand Rapids, you're probably walking a quarter mile, half mile from your parking spot. And so it's one of those, we're small town, it's not a big deal to have to walk a block or two. That's one of those things that I kind of wanted to point out. For example, I had to go to ICCU when I was coming here. Well, I just pulled into this parking lot and walked over there because it's not the end of the world to get a little walk on it. But those people that do have mobility issues, I know why that's, parking is a big deal. And like I said, with how tight that parking lot was, the handicap parking, I know was probably an issue for some people sometimes. They're all going to be normal, quote unquote, parking spaces now.
Right. It was even the ADA spaces in that lot were very tight. They met the code, but again, the code 40 years ago is different than the code today. So we're taking this as an opportunity to not just put, if you will, regular size ADA spaces in, right? But we now are going to have spaces for van accessibility, which is a whole different ballgame, right?
I'm going to make a joke that downtown people will get. You got a space for Brian Weifert's truck.
Now, come on. Brian's going to hear this, and he's gonna be like, what are you doing?
He's going to give a laugh because he's going to say, you know what? We do need those bigger parking spaces in that parking lot.
That is true. So I did think of one other thing. So pivoting off of Brian Weifert, because he and I have had conversations about EV car charging stations. So we are going to have some EV car charging stations up near the restroom. So if there's an event going on, we can close the lot down, but you'll still have access to the EV chargers. Or if you just want to come in and use them and the restroom is there, things like that. But to your point, yes, parking is, I'm a member of the Michigan Downtown Association, and when I go to workshops and conferences, we all have the same story. Everybody talks about the fact that in their community, they all fully believe no one has enough parking. But the reality is, you don't come downtown thinking, I'm going to check out the really cool parking. You're going to make a judgment call on if I'm going to go to a restaurant, what that distance is to walk to it, quite frankly. Yeah. But you're right. We also have to balance that with accessibility. So it's just something that when we were putting this plan together, we worked with the Mid-Michigan Disability Network. Review the plans. What is it that we are missing? What is it that we can add to this? And one of the things they talked about was having enough seating. And by seating, you and I would think picnic tables. Oh, okay, great. But it's not just if someone is in a wheelchair. Because we took it a step further. There's ADA, and then there's what we hear, not just downtown, but in the parks, really work hard to reach what's called universal accessibility. So think of it in the terms of not just somebody in a wheelchair. It's somebody who has a mobility. Maybe they use a walker. Maybe they've broke their ankle, and they have one of those little
The
knee thing that they get around. Maybe it's a mom who has a double stroller because she's got two kids. Where is she going to park that and sit down? So it's things like that that we really looked very, very hard at. When we look at benches, the benches should have some sort of an arm on it. So if you need to help yourself sit up or sit down, that there's something to grab onto. I mean, there's so much more that we are looking at today than what we ever did. And one of those is, like I said, the Disability Network, also the Access to Recreation Program with the Community Foundation and our Parks Director. It's been super helpful.
So accessibility and usability are going to be some great things that are coming. Like I said, our town center was great. Like I said, that parking lot needed to be done for a long time and six times bigger for the green area. I think that's going to be pretty darn awesome.
And it is.
I think we kind of went through how much better suited it's going to be for events going forward. I think you talked about the power as another big thing. So if Sean Powers wanted to come down there and have a rock concert or something like that,
we can make that happen.
He would be able to plug everything in there. And, that's something we'll have to talk about towards the end of summer is, the events and an event going on as, things become open. But downtown Mount Pleasant, you guys got a lot going on this summer. Is there a couple things you maybe kind of wanted to point, look forward to maybe here?
Yes, there are. We always have a full agenda when it comes to our events. And even though this project's going on, we still have some of the tried and true ones that are still going to be taking place downtown. So Paint the Pavement, of course, with Art Reach is the first weekend in June. The weekend after is the 10th annual Craft Beer Festival. The JCs just work their...
That's just me clapping in an empty room.
I mean, it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years. Like when that idea first came around, we... you know, it's just, it's remarkable. And they put all the money back into the community. So I can't sing their praises really enough. And they've been a dream outside organization to work with here at the city. The first couple of years, you know, there was a lot of back and forth with our internal staff and working with them on, you know, how to put the event logistics together. I'm telling you, by the second year, they were like, okay, we've pretty much got this. By year three, training wheels are off. They are good to go. So every year we just like, oh man, these folks are a dream to
they
work with.
Done,
they
yeah.
got it done. They are just so organized, a well-oiled machine. So I can't speak highly. Anyway, moving on from there, let's see. So we've, now it's not exactly downtown, but we've got the music series that happens with MMI that yep. MMI puts together at the parks.
Island Park.
Island Park, 10 weeks, yeah.
Yep. Well, when you talk about how big of a deal that space is going to be for even that stuff coming mm-hmm. up, you know what I mean? Like next year, once you have this space and down, it's just going to be so great to have.
It is.
It's almost going to be like a park right in town
well,
center.
That's why
in a
we're
way.
Calling it civic space, because really, we look at it as it's all civic space now, as opposed to, oh, it's downtown versus Island Park. That's all civic space. It's for the public to use, whether that's just a casual, I'm going to grab something to eat and I'm going to, you know, sit there with my family and the dogs there, or it's an actual programmed event, whether it's event, it's a large event or it's a small event, you know, the space is, you can almost customize how much it is that you're going to need for it. So, then, of course, moving into July, we have the Home Builders Association, their classic car show, car and motorcycle show. Can't forget the motorcycles.
Thunder with Rods.
Thunder with Rods, yep. Yes. So typically we do that at Town Center, right? So we had to get a little creative this year. So still going to be downtown. So it's going to be towards the eastern side of downtown. So two parking lots that are at Broadway and Lansing. In my world, that's parking lot 8 and 11, but yep. Most people don't know that. So just think Lansing and Broadway, that's where it's going to be this year.
And I'm going to do this again. I
Go
bet
ahead.
Next year, probably all of the cars are probably going to be able yes. to be pretty much in town center.
Yes, pretty much. Or in if we should be so lucky, right, that they have such a great turnout that we need a little bit more space.
Touché, yeah.
Right? Then we can take that one block stretch on Main Street and a block stretch on Broadway, and it, you know, it's all contained right there. So nobody feels like they're out of the mix, right? So that'll be really wonderful. Of course, we got Art Walk Central with their art battle. Megan Barron, for art's sake, with her Market for the Arts, will be towards the end of August. Yeah, there's lots going on. And of course, once the space is done, so the idea that we'll be done by the end of September. So really the first big community event that we're going to have in that space is going to be Pumpkin Promenade.
Ooh, boy.
Right? Which I love. It has become one of my very favorite events, simply because it's kids, they're dressed in costume, and everybody's just having a really terrific time. And when we brought that back, again, that was Tim Brockman, who, you know, passed away a number of years ago, was the owner of Max and Emily's, had the suggestion to bring that event back. It was something that had been done a number of years ago and sort of, you know, all events have a lifetime, so sort of went away and brought it back, and it was one of the best things that they did. It's been great, and it works really well. It's from 4 to 6, so your little ones can trick-or-treat, and it's still, by the time the event is done, it's just starting to turn a little bit dusk. And so if they're little ones, you can then take them home, have them dinner at a regular time and put them to bed. But they've done the Halloween thing. Where if they're a little bit older, they can still go out and do the neighborhood, you know, from 6 to 8. So that's fantastic. And then, of course, we'll be doing Christmas there, which
oh
is
boy.
We've got a lot of things in the hopper, in the plans. I can't tell you everything other than my goal is to have the biggest tree possible. The more lights, the better, Chris. That's my theory. I want the FAA to call the airport and say, hey, there's so much lights going here in Mount Pleasant. We're having trouble with our planes overhead. I should be so lucky. That's my joke. And they're like, Michelle, that's not really going to happen.
You got me thinking of where, you know, when I'm walking the puppy at night and I go way down by Grand Street over by Chippewa. I don't know if it's Chippewa and Grand or whatever. There is like the most magnificent pine tree or whatever. And I've always thought that, like, man, that should be the tree in town center some year. And I don't think they'll let us cut it down, but maybe I can ask someday when I'm walking
not.
By there. And
probably not.
Kind of some general overall stuff here as we kind of close things down. For people who don't know, how many businesses are in downtown Mount Pleasant?
Oh, well,
And I know I'm putting you on the spot
you
here.
You are. You really did. I just updated some of the information about the website. So if I remember correctly, it's 182. Yes. Now, a lot of people would be like, come on, you can't be serious. Yes, I have a list.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and this goes into, you go upstairs into some places, and right. there might be a couple lawyers' offices, you know, a massage place exactly. or something like that. And so there are so many businesses down here, and most of them are all locally owned as well, oh, yes. which is such an important thing for our area. And any new stores coming, a couple of stores that just opened up, maybe want to talk a little bit?
Let's talk about a new one that has landed downtown, and they are ready and raring to go there. That is Life Unplugged, which is 100 East Broadway. So right at the corner of Broadway and Main Street. They are talking about a front row Whoop, space
right in the middle,
to the construction zone right now. They are having their grand opening on April 26th, and they are absolutely delightful. Their marketing is the idea behind unplugging with your friends and your family. So you'd go in and you give over your phone, which I know today that's kind of crazy, but you give over your phone, and in return what you get is time that you can play pool or any one of the other games that are going on. And of course they have their well-known established brand, their clothing line. And that's how things started. And then Dylan and his team came to me and said, hey, I got this idea. Like, since we're in the space, like, have people come in and unplug literally on the spot. And it's been wonderful. They had a soft opening just around Christmas time, and it was wall-to-wall people in there. So I was super excited to them. So also we have, but I can't tell you a whole lot. I feel like sometimes it's one of those.
There's something in the works, isn't there?
Something in the works.
All right.
And it's going to be on South University Street, and that's about all I can tell you right now. Stay tuned.
Is it going to be food?
No, it's not going to be food.
All right, we'll leave it at that. It's a tease for everybody.
I know, it's a tease. But right now, the reality is, if you want a food option downtown, we've got you covered. We're just shy of 20 food establishments in one form or another, whether that's you're looking for a sub with Jimmy John's, or you want fine dining with Camille's or the Brass, if you want sushi, if you want pizza, you're looking for a bird burger, we do have you covered there. So,
and now kind of lastly, if somebody thinking about opening up a business here in downtown Mount Pleasant, what would you like to say to them? Kind of talk about that a little bit, Michelle.
Call me. Right? Yeah. That's the short version, is call me. And again, we work together with our partners in this field. So here at the city, we can help you find the physical location. We've got a couple of grants having to do with the building, right? Because a lot of times people will say, well, I need startup funds. That's unfortunately something that we at the city were just unable to do. That's just not, we can't, is the short version. Legally, we can't. Yeah. We can't use tax dollars inside of a business. And a lot of people don't know that. So what we do is we work with our partners in the economic development realm. If you need startup funds, we help partner you, whether that's the CMU Research Corporation, the CMURC, or Middle Michigan Development Corporation, the Small Business Development Center. They can help put those pieces together. So let's say you are starting, you just have this kernel of an idea. You need to formulate it. I'm going to tell you, your best bet is to work with a Small Business Development Center. They have tools and resources to help you put the business plan together, the financials together, help connect you with some grants at their level. MMDC, their sweet spot is really for more manufacturing and industrial, although they get into other areas, but that's sort of their field. The CMURC, if you're like, okay, I've got the idea, now I'm not quite to the spot where I need a storefront downtown, right? Mm-hmm. But I got to take the training wheels off a little bit. They're going to help you with their, they have co-working space out at CMU that they can help you. So you can grow your business, and then we can find you the location downtown. So it sort of depends. But anyway, if you, however, are like, hey, I'm ready and raring to go, I need space, call me. 779-5348 is the number here. And look, if I don't have space for you downtown, because the reality is there are some businesses that fit really, really well downtown. And then there are some that are well suited for an industrial location. There are some that are better fit for Mission and Pickard. So I'm sort of
You're going to guide them in the
I'm
right direction.
Guide them, right. look, if you don't fit downtown for whatever reason, maybe it's the square footage you need, right? Because our storefronts typically downtown are 21 by 90. So if you need more space than that, I'm going to connect you with some economic development resources maybe in somewhere else in the city. So just depends.
Restaurant the seats 200 is probably not happening in downtown right now unless it was a special place.
No, that would be challenging unless, and I say unless you wanted to build, we do have some empty space across the street, so we could build something. But
so there still are some options there. Yeah.
So you're saying there's some options, right?
Yeah. As Lloyd Christmas would say, so you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance, yeah. Right.
But Michelle, thanks so much for joining me. Again, we hope we cleared up some questions about what's going on with the space in Town Center. And again, you heard it from this guy. It's going to be awesome. I know you wouldn't have done it if it wasn't going to be awesome. There are no quote-unquote local tax dollars that are going into this kind of a, and these were done through grants, and that's a conversation that if you really need to have it.
They can call me.
I'm going to throw you under the bus. That's what Michelle is here for.
It is. Or they can go to our website. What we put together was frequently asked questions that really dig into those details. So if somebody is interested in all of that is up on our website. So you go to the City of Mount Pleasant, mt-pleasant.org. You can't even find it. Then you go to departments, go to downtown, and then you go to that page. You're going to see all of that information. So when the question is asked, like, well, couldn't we have used these grant funds on something else? Well, the short version is no, because there's criteria involved that really keeps it locked into what it can be used for. And if we hadn't applied, somebody else would have. So if they don't like grants, and I understand, like, there are some people who are like, well, but Michelle, it's still adding to the federal deficit. My kind of running gag is, yes, that is correct. And that is a conversation between you and perhaps your congressperson or the president. Yeah. But I am not going to turn down grant dollars that can help with capital improvement. Construction's expensive. And anytime we can find grant dollars that can help us lower the tax burden for our community, we're going to do it.
Yep, and better our community at the same time.
Yes.
So, Michelle, thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Happy to.
Yep, and thank you for joining me.
I know.
Another Mid-Michigan Matters.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mid-Michigan Matters. While you're here, feel free to browse earlier episodes or other podcast programs on our platform. Listen to what you will and spread the word. Thanks again for listening.